Welcome to the HRA podcast. In this episode, HRA's CEO, Rachel Smith, will discuss the animal welfare considerations in regards to the use of animal models in inhalation research. Thanks for joining us, Rachel.
Thanks for having me on.
Okay, so in my interview with Natalie Anderson, HRA's science outreach consultant, focused on the questionable validity of animal models in inhalation research. Can you elaborate any more on this?
Yes, so Natalie outlined requirements for internal and external validity of research, which is particularly relevant to human-based research. So just to recap, internal validity relates to how well a study is conducted, its structure, and external validity relates to how applicable the findings are to the real world. Internal validity depends largely on the procedures of a study and how rigorously it is performed. The complexity of designing an animal inhalation study that will provide human-relevant results is huge. And HRA's report, Optimizing Inhalation Research, Transitioning to Human-Relevant Science, raises a range of factors to consider for animal studies, such as calculating dose rate accurately and accounting for key anatomical differences. It is extremely difficult to meet all the requirements to ensure high-quality study design. However, what I think is particularly crucial to remember is that the weaknesses in the internal validity of animal experiments cannot be overcome by simply improving the study design. This is because the external validity, otherwise known as the extent to which research findings derived in one setting, population or species, can be reliably applied to other settings, populations and species, can very rarely be achieved by using animal models. The differences between humans and animals, comorbidities, timing and administration and dosing of treatments, for example, are too significant to generate transferable data. When we look at inhalation studies, there are particularly profound differences between humans and rodents that are detailed in our report. Diseases are being induced in mice to which they are not naturally predisposed. For example, they are used as models to study toxicological effects of cigarette smoke in COPD and Crohn's disease. These animal models of disease can only replicate some key symptoms, and they do not reproduce pathology or accurately predict response in human. Taking rats as an example, they demonstrate signs of disease 2 months post-exposure, and mice are actually resistant to some smoke-induced pathologies observed in humans. Thus, murine models have been cited as inadequate at capturing smoke-induced human pathological mechanisms. Yet despite this, they're still being used.
And so in respect to animal welfare, what are the impacts on the mice that are used?
Well, as Natalie mentioned, our report focused on the scientific validity of inhalation research rather than the ethical aspects. But it is clear that this is highly invasive research with great potential for suffering. To induce the disease under investigation, mice are subjected to up to 18 weeks of exposure to cigarette smoke for up to 1.5 hours twice a day. This is in addition to other procedures that may be carried out during the experiment, such as injections, the administration of food or drugs by force, behavioural tests, and ultimately death at the end of the experiment. Mice may suffer from the painful conditions that are induced to recreate a human disease or condition. And the nose-only exposure method is particularly cruel, because of the nature of the confinement. And that is why this method is the focus of our current campaign action. There are additional animal welfare risks associated with the nose-only method, such as the mice suffocating in the tube, or complications due to faulty machines or human error. There are other unwanted impacts as well, such as weight loss and hypothermia, that the mice can experience while on the smoking tower. Surviving mice are observed as disorientated when released from the device and in clear distress. When it comes to human respiration, the experience of breathlessness, such as respiratory effort, air hunger, and chest tightness, is unpleasant and highly distressing. Non-human mammals, such as dogs, cats, rabbits, and rodents, also experience conditions of breathlessness as stressful respiratory sensations. In these experiments, mice demonstrate urgent and desperate attempts to escape the chamber in order to relieve their experiences of breathlessness. When animal ethics committees scrutinize animal research, they should be making a cost-benefit analysis. The cost to the thousands of mice used is severe, and the benefits debatable, and I feel as though most members of the public would object to such research, particularly as mice do not represent the behaviours of typical smokers, and there are alternative methods available to conduct this research with greater human relevance.
The report largely profiles basic research conducted in academia. Are there any lessons that could be learned from regulatory toxicology research?
Yes, I think that there are. Regulatory science is leading the way in alternatives validation, with new standards and guidelines being developed over the last decade to increase acceptance of human-relevant in vitro and in silico technologies and tools that can be used to replace animal use and animal model use. There is recognition that animal models have limited predictive value for safety testing of chemicals and that public opinion is opposed to such testing. This is evident from the US Environmental Protection Agency committing to reduce its request for and funding of mammal studies by 30% by 2025 and eliminate all mammal study requests and funding by 2035. However, academia seems to be lagging behind in both recognising the limitations and not committing resources to the development of new approach methodologies. If it is known that toxicology research using forced inhalation methods is inaccurate, then surely this should be considered when selecting which method to use for research into e-cigarettes or smoking-related respiratory diseases.
So, can you please tell us, what do you find particularly distressing about animal inhalation studies?
To me personally, the fact that the mice are jammed into the smoking tubes with no escape in the nose-only exposure is extremely distressing, and this is all the more confounding by the fact that there are human non-animal methods available, as detailed in the report, which are humane, such as the lung on a chip, which will tell us about human biology, not mouse biology.
What are the next steps for the report following its release?
We've been sharing it to allied organisations, health funders, universities, research institutions, peak bodies, regulators and animal ethics committees, and have reached out to the University of Newcastle, who have many publications published using the nose-only exposure method. We have applied to present the report at various scientific conferences, and Natalie recently presented a poster at the Australian Association for Medical Research National Conference. We plan to run some consumer community engagement events in the new year too.
What outcome would you most like to see from the report?
I hope it will be used as a resource by respiratory researchers and inspire adoption of new approach methods. Natalie alluded to the many barriers to adopting non-animal methods, such as publication bias and lack of funding for incentives for non-animal methods. And there is much to be done to overcome these and systemic change required. But as at an individual level, I hope it will inspire new ways of thinking and working, particularly amongst students. We identified PhD studies where, in some studies, thousands of mice were being used for inhalation research. I would really love students commencing a career in respiratory research to be trained in using new approach methods rather than outdated and cruel mouse models.
And how about the public advocacy campaign?
Alongside the report, we have a public campaign, Forced to Smoke, in which we encourage people to sign an action requesting the University of Newcastle to cease the use of inhalation studies. We will be continuing to promote this campaign objective and increasing our presence in the Newcastle area, whilst working behind the scenes to investigate inhalation research taking place across Australia.
What can people do to support the campaign?
The first thing I would suggest is to send an email via our campaign page, humaneresearch.org.au/forced to smoke. We also have a YouTube video on the same page, which we encourage you to share. This research is taking place behind closed doors, and we really need to raise awareness of the type of research that is being conducted with taxpayer funding.
Thank you so much for answering our questions today.
Thank you, Mika.
For listeners who want to learn more about this research, support our campaign to stop forcing animals to smoke, or read our full report titled Optimizing Inhalation Research, Transitioning to Human Relevant Science. You can do so at our campaign webpage, www.humaneresearch.org.au/forced-to-smoke/. Individual links are also shared in the episode notes of this podcast, along with our social media handles. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. That's it for this episode. Thank you all for listening.